What a wonderful messages and song that we've heard already this morning. But I know that probably a lot of people are going back there to the back table looking for notes. There are none. It wasn't that they were ran out. This morning we're going to do things a little bit different than a normal Sunday morning service. I don't have a sermon necessarily prepared as much as I do a message of praise and honor and glory of what God has done for this church over its history. We typically hold the church anniversary and homecoming service on the first weekend of November because that was the time that this church was chartered and the first service that was held here at the church. We had to move it up a week due to some scheduling conflicts, so we're having a week early. But on November the 5th, 1995, this church was chartered and it began. That puts the church at being 24 years in ministry right now. And last year, Miss gave us a really wonderful total history of the church, and that was very beautiful. But a lot of people here today don't realize where this church has come from and what and all the things that have taken place. Really, the church began as United Evangelistic Church, not United Community Church. Really, our corporate name is not either one of those two. The corporate name of the church is The Gathering Place. And so we had for a number of years United Evangelistic Church, and our founding pastor was Dr. Joe Andrews, and again, who needs no introduction, Miss Wilma Andrews, who's sitting up here today, and the picture of Brother Joe is in our foyer there. And Brother Joe served the church from its founding in 1995 until his death on June the 1st, 2004. Brother John Whitehead was Brother Joe's associate pastor at the time, and the church called him relatively soon after that to be the second pastor of United Community Church. And Brother John and his wife Linda served here from June of 2004 to July of 2012. Under Brother Joe and Brother John's leadership, the church went from a Bible study that was being held in Miss Wilma and Brother Joe's home, and I think they probably had 60, 70 people or so that were there. Just, that's a big living room. I can't fit 6 or 10 people in mine probably, but in y'all's living room. And I think they said, well, you know, we probably need to do something else. And they looked and bought this property. You heard a lot of those details last week. I'm going over a brief summary today, but they purchased this property around end of the 1990s and the first and started building this church. There was a house. There used to be a mound like that is over to the left right here in this big circle. You can still see the imprint of it before we built the addition. And there was a house that was over here on the property. They purchased that house. They had church in that house for a number of years. Some of y'all that are here were in the church at that time when they were in the house. So we went from the living room of Joe and Wilma Andrews to purchasing this property and having the house on there until the beginning of this sanctuary and this facility was being built. Going along, having the money to do everything. They built the thing in stages, put the whole building up here, but they held church in the fellowship hall for quite a number of years. And actually, the first service that was ever held in the completed sanctuary was Brother Joe's funeral. He never did live to see the entire church building here itself completed. But around 2006, the church's name was changed to United Evangelistic Church, to United Community Church, in order to take away any kind of denominational labels that may be out there and to let people know this is a church for the entire community, no matter where your backgrounds are, what stripe you come from, and certainly what denomination you are. The church has been a member of an evangelistic association, or was, for quite a number of years, but we're non-denominational. We're interdenominational, as Miss Wilma likes to say, because if I ask today, there's people that come here from Methodist backgrounds, Baptist backgrounds, maybe a few Catholic backgrounds, Church of God of Prophecy, Baptist, all the rest of them. I'm not sure about an Episcopalian, but there's somebody probably graced the door of an Episcopalian church around here somewhere. But all different types of faiths that have come. And I could name many other denominations, I'm sure, that people have come from. That's not what we bother with here. We bother with the Word of God. And so the sign and our church name wanted to be able to convey that. And then in 2007, the church called me to come here as a youth pastor. And I brought along with me at that time my girlfriend. We wasn't engaged, we wasn't married, we wasn't nothing, but I can't believe she's still been here with me, but she came along with me then, and we were coming to serve in the youth ministry. And then in early 2008, the church had asked me to take on the mantle of associate pastor as well. And so Brooke and I have been serving here at the church for quite a number of years, and at the time that Brother Jonathan left, we served alongside John and Linda Whitehead for 5 years of ministry here, them the pastor and pastor's wife, and us leading in the youth ministry and associate pastor. And in 2012, in the church's 17th year, God had really blessed the church tremendously. Up until that point, and certainly as he still has blessed. Now, I don't say that because he blessed the church with the building that we have today and the property that we have today and any kind of financial resource and all the stuff. I've been reflecting over this for quite a number of weeks. God has blessed this church, and I'm saying in 2012 as I'm trying to play out this story here, with some battle-tested people. All right. The people that founded this church, that planted this church, had been through many trials and tribulations in their own personal lives, as we all have, but certainly in the realm of church as well. If you've been going to church for about 30 years, you've seen some trial and tribulation inside a church, haven't you? You've seen some people act in ways that are not becoming of Christians, haven't you? Maybe even here, human beings are just that way, all right? And so if you have been involved, you've seen it, and certainly the people that are the roots of United Community Church had been through some tremendous trials and tribulations in the church world. They knew what that was like, all right? I want to highlight just how God had blessed. So in 2012, we know Brother John and Linda resigned. And the church asked me if I would be the interim pastor, and I was. And I was interested in helping out in that regard. But before I go there, I want to ask some people, and I'm going to ask y'all to get out of your comfort zone this morning many times throughout here. But if you were in this church prior to me becoming the pastor, stand up, please. You see how relatively few, and it's a lot of people. Thank you for standing. But a lot of people that are here, but there's a vast amount of more of you that were not here and you came here afterwards. And one of the reasons for that is you people that are here are occupied on the first three rows, especially y'all in the second row, are occupying a wonderful pew of where people used to sit that were some of the most dedicated and faithful members of this church and church that I'd ever seen in my life. And y'all know who I'm talking about. Since 2012, our church has lost a lot of our people. And a lot of our elderly people that have gone on to be with the Lord. And I've had to be a part of more funerals than I ever cared to be a part of, especially with such great saints of God that had left our church. But and I'll tell you in a minute why I'm so emotional about that. Because Brooke and I have served UCC for the past 12 years. For the past 7 years, October marked my seventh year in being the pastor here. So when you look at that just as a side note, I was 19 years old when I came here as a youth pastor. When the church asked me to be the associate pastor, I was 20 years old. When I was the pastor of the church, I was 24 years old. Okay, you're talking about a baby, still am. A lot of people say he still is a baby. Thank you, that's wonderful, I love it. Okay, I love it. It's a little bit better, it's a little bit better than being, you know, all the way broke down, but I'm 31 and breaking down. It's not. I'm not gonna be here to 75 years old, and I don't know that the Lord will tarry that much, but I enjoy being young. But the thing about this is, what I had to say is that those people, and many of y'all that stood, okay, and many of the people that are here, some folks are back here today that have gone to serve at other churches for different reasons, and many of y'all have been here at this church, and I appreciate you all so much because y'all have stuck by this church through all types of strife and trials and tribulations, good times and bad times and whatever, and you've put up with me for the past 7 years of being the pastor here, and I appreciate y'all so much for what y'all have done and the support that you have given to this place. Praise the Lord, yes. If it was not for the people here, I don't think that I'd be standing here, because this was not an ideal task 7 years ago that a 24-year-old who was just recently married wanted to embark upon. Those of y'all that were here, we were going through some of the roughest times that I have known in church, but not that y'all have known. And that's why I say what I said earlier, because if those of y'all who went back to the days at Making Me, y'all had went through some really, really tumultuous times. And I seen this year how God had been preparing those people that were here, that just kind of when things happen, it just rolled. You just roll with it because you realize that this is the way life is, and you don't let it get you down. You don't let Satan win. You don't let Satan stop a ministry that you know that God has ordained to be. Amen. Give God some praise for that. So the people that stood by here, I remember I had a resignation letter in my envelope at the same exact time that others had. All right. And so it was not my plan to continue to be here. It was my plan for me and my newly wedded wife to just go get out of ministry somewhere. I had been in ministry, you know, at that time for seven years or 6 years. And it was tumultuous. And we said, we're going to go to church for a little while and just go and be fed. And then we'll see where the Lord leads. But this lady right down here, Miss Wilma, looked at me and I said, I don't know what y'all are going to do. And she said, well, what you're going to do is you're going to get in there and preach for us. She said, and I, you don't say no to her. I wasn't even dressed right to preach up here. But Miss Wilma said that, and then I was here, and Miss Martha Peacock, I have to, and God rest her soul, she is one of my favorite people on the planet, but we're about at the fourth pew from the back. And we were talking, about, you know, we needed people to help in the nursery. We needed all of this type of help because at that time, a couple of Sundays before Brother Jonathan left, we had around 43 people here in our service. We have over 130 people here this morning, okay? So I want you to see a little bit of changes that God has done, even though we've lost quite a number of people. So when we think sometimes the pool of help is low, we had no help at that time to be able to do certain things. But Miss Martha Peacock, who was around 88 years old or something like that at that time, looked at me and said, if you need somebody to keep the nursery, I'll keep it myself. It was at that moment, and I promise you, it was at that moment, and I've told this story the same way over and over, that I realized there was something worth fighting for in this place. If we had people that were that committed, that faithful, that loyal to give of their time and talent, and had reached that age, I said, I believe that we've got to be able to toe the line here for a little while. So it was only after that I agreed to the board that I would be able to do something more than interim, because I was just, I'm 24, I'm still in seminary, and I wanted to find somebody else. But again, my thing is not today about me at all. It's about y'all. It's about the people that God has put in this place and for you to see. I'm only here today because of you all and what you all have done. And this church is no better than the people that occupy the pews that you're sitting in right now. Okay, and you being willing to do what God has led you to do. My original plan when I was planning these things out in my saga here at the church, because see, John and Joe had done a lot of the hard work here, and the property was built, and the church was here, and the pews, and all of this place was set, all the facilities that we needed, and it took a lot of hard work over 17 years for them to be able to get together and for all the people that were here for this church to get to where it had been. But we were in a dark place, and I said, you know, I'll be the pastor, we'll do that, and then once they get a little bit on the good footing, then I'm going to leave. And for about 3 years or so, I was kept looking for that point. When is that time that we're good and I can exit and they'll be okay? God has a mysterious way of doing things because I'm still here. And I have not for many years been looking for that exit point on there. So he kind of just took that away from me. But I can say, y'all, that God has blessed this church over the past 7 years. Now I'm talking about the time I've been the pastor. For the past 7 years, way beyond any way that I ever thought in 2012 that was possible, okay? I stayed down at this altar here and said, God, I don't know what I'm doing, and I didn't, but I thank God that there were a lot of people that I had around me that could help, and we could figure it all out together with God's leading. But looking back, I should have seen clearly that God had these battle-tested people in this congregation for a reason. That the reason was to prepare them to fulfill what the church's motto says. And if you had a bulletin this morning, it's been on the front, a past to cherish and a future to fulfill. All right. It was those people. I don't think this church would be here today if it wasn't that you had the experiences of making E and you had the experience of being able to come over and going through all the hard things that it took to plant a church. That's difficult to do. And it's difficult to do when you already have some hurting people. And so there's many different times in our church's history that it should have been, you know what, the doors should have closed right there because everybody was tired. But see, when you have the generation now, and younger people, and myself included, this generation that I'm talking to that I get so emotional about that occupies these pews, they were the folks that are in the bracket now where Brother Dooley is there, 93 in the 90s, in their late 80s. That generation doesn't give up. That generation perseveres because they've had to all their life. They're not willy-nilly. This church wouldn't be here today if we would have had a church of less than 40-year-olds. Because bam, everybody would have just turned tail and left because the going got a little bit tough right there. But that's not what we had. We had battle-tested, wise, committed saints of God that said no matter what, they believed in what God had for the ministry of United Community Church, and they were going to be here. And a lot of those have passed on, but folks, we are enjoying the benefits today of those blessings that those people gave to this church. And I don't ever want us to forget what those people have done. It's all about God, but it wouldn't have been anything if God wouldn't have been able to work through those people. And lest we forget what those people have done, and I never will, because I've been here throughout this entire time. The driving force, that became my driving force when I looked at that past to cherish and a future to fulfill. I had seen that the church had a past that we were cherishing, but we had a future that was still yet to be fully fulfilled, and it's still yet to be fulfilled. And we want to cherish that past, as I said. But we also want to look to the future that God has always wanted to see in this place and in this building. So that's what we've been attempting to do over the past 7 years, and that is to continuously build on what God started 24 years ago. As we stand right now, United Community Church, and I can say this with all authority that I have within myself, is more stable and more healthy now than it has ever been in 24 years, than it has ever been. That is because of the people that are here, and that's because of what God has done, and he gets all the credit that is due in that. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, I was about to tell y'all ladies that y'all were exiting the building right around the time I need y'all to come back. But Matthew 9, 35 through 38 says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." When I became the pastor, one of the first things that I told the church is I could not do this by myself. I wanted to make no mistake about it. At that time, I figured, hey, I'm a bold person, but I better go ahead and tell them plainly how certain things are going to be. I didn't have anything to lose. Well, there wasn't money involved in all of this, the money that was substantial enough for me to stay here and all the rest. And so I wasn't a hireling like some pastors are. You know, you do what they say because they're paying all your bills. So I said, listen, now I love everybody. And there was a few people like Miss Martha said, but if we're going to make it, everybody has got to pitch in together. And you cannot expect me to bear all of this burden. And I was very clear about that. And I can say that same thing is true today. I can't do this by myself. This may be Pastor Appreciation Month, but the pastors lead. And if there's nobody to follow, though, if there's nobody there to be the hands and feet, Jesus needed disciples, and he used disciples. You have to be able to have people to do things. I prayed to Jesus Christ, and who's the Lord of the harvest, as this verse said. I prayed then, God, I didn't pray it exactly like this, but this was the spirit of my prayer. We need workers to go into the harvest field. Because many times, if you've been a pastor, if you've led in any ministry, you have thought about verse 37 so many times. Look back at that one for me, Joe. You say, how many times have you been working in church? You go, oh, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And in any church, if you've been in there for a long time, churches will work you to death. Before I came here, I was in Wheeler Heights Baptist Church. I held 7 positions on the nominating committee. I cut the grass. I did the bulletins and youth and all of these other different things because I was a young, able-bodied male, and they put me to work in every different place. They come and say, you know, it got to be the place where, hey, the nominating committee just told you this is just where you're going to be. I thought I was supposed to be nominated, you know. Can I be nominated and then voted on and all that kind of stuff? I mean, you were appointed. That's the way that kind of stuff went in the church. So I know what that is. I know what that is like. But there were times here in this church that I thought about this verse. And I said, you know, there's so much that God has to do, but the workers are few. And we'd look around and we were trying and we were struggling to find people just to take one Sunday to do children's church, to do nursery, to help out in other different areas. We were struggling to find people to be able to do that. However, this is not the case today for United Community Church. And I know there are some people that are some in that class of people that are working a lot in the church. That thing, I don't know, Corey, you're crazy. The workers still are few. But the harvest is still plentiful, but we have seen workers in this church go out into the harvest field double and triple and quadruple the amount that we've ever had in this church. and that's been over the past couple of years. That's why I say the church is more healthy now than it's ever been. We have more people that are owning different things and going out and working and serving in different ministries around the church than ever. At this time, I want to get Ken, come here, Earl, come here, and Randy Matthews, come here, please. On up here with me. Rise, son. These three gentlemen, I have to tell y'all, are the deacons of this church, all right? And these three men have been a rock behind me for the entire time that I have been the pastor in this church. They don't get any recognition, nor do they seek that. There is no Deacon Appreciation Month that they get, and the pastors and all, we get appreciation and thanks all the time. But I have to tell these men, and they know it because we've served alongside each other this entire time, at how much I appreciate what they do every day. I could not have went through all the things that I've gone through if it wasn't for the wise counsel of these men. Y'all give them a round of applause, please. It's a token of appreciation.
You make it easy for us, buddy. We love you.
Love you. You know I love you, man. All right, y'all can sit down. I thought it very fitting today that they would receive some recognition. And as I said, these men, and I'll say this here in a minute too, but in 2014, into 2013, Jim and Kathy Johnson came to this church, and I can tell you, I know for a fact I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for that man back there. So. Yeah. If that's what we have, Jesus that goes to church there. Oh me, that's funny. You know, and I say I appreciate those four men, the three that we had in the deacons and Jim, and myself make up the governing board of the church, and we have an immense responsibility. We know this upon our shoulders, and we take that very seriously. And it's an honor to serve with those gentlemen and to be able to have their wise counsel. So, if you don't believe me when I say that verse 37 here isn't quite applicable to United Community Church, I'm about to perform an exercise for you that's going to show you that this is true. All right? So, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone for a minute, and for at least this one time, just do what I said. If you are a part of the governing board, the deacons, myself and Jim, stand up, please, and remain standing. Hold applause. We don't need any applause right now. Okay? Stand up. Thank you. If you serve in the youth ministry, you lead the youth, stand up. If you help them teach trips, stand up. If you teach Sunday school, please stand. If you teach a Bible study weekly, lead the ladies' ministry, please stand. That was really for Amanda Smith and Amanda Herndon, and there you go. All right. Let's see. If I don't want to miss something here. If you serve in the music ministry, either playing an instrument or singing, leading it, Ken's already standing. Dirty, you don't have to stand up, sweetheart. We know. You're going to be standing for a minute now, so you're good. You see, back down. We know Dirty plays our piano and does a wonderful job of doing that. Amen. If you serve, listen closely, if you serve in the nursery, Children's Church or Awana? Please stand. Okay, that was going to be a lot of folks. If you serve in the kitchen on Wednesday nights, please stand. And see these ladies that are back there on there in my Wednesday night crew. We got to give them a round of applause right now. And Earl, who's over here and helps cook, and he leads the charge of all of the people over there on Wednesday nights. But I do want to give y'all props, because I know that y'all got to exit and go back to the other building for a second. But you don't have to do that right this second. I'm not quite done, but if you have to, you can. There are people working right now, y'all, while we're sitting in here making sure all the food is. But that team on Wednesday nights does an amazing job every single week of providing our meals. If you drive the church van, please stand. Where is he at? He's gone to get the chicken. And Don Alfred does that, and Joe helps. Hold on. I got a bunch more for y'all to start clapping. If you serve in the sound and media upstairs, you can stand up. And Travis, there you go. All right. If you help clean the church on a weekly basis, please stand if you already aren't standing. thank you. Debbie Elkins back there. If you're part of keeping the yards and grounds, please stand. They're already standing. If you keep the church sign changed, it's Don Alfred. He's on here a lot. If you're a part of the outreach team, contacts visitors and missions and missing folks each week, sending cards, you can stand up if you're not already standing. I want you to look across this room, folks, right now, and you see how many people, I'm not talking about the play. You look across the place, and you see the workers. Now, the people that are standing, and I'm not casting any shade against the people that are sitting, the people that are standing right now are people that every week and every month are serving in the church consistently, keeping the place going on a weekly basis. Now, you look at the numbers here. I think the workers are plentiful, don't you? Amen. Amen. Give everybody a round of applause right there. Okay. And y'all gonna be seated now. Yep, y'all good. So you have people right now. Y'all shut the door if you will for me. It's kind of closing. But we have people upstairs right now. Four people in children's church with all of those children. I sat at a children's church meeting a couple of weeks ago. I went because I knew they were needing a little bit of encouragement and help and all back there. And then I realized they didn't need me. Back there for that, because they were groveling. They had 15 workers for children's church, and they were needing one more to make 16, and they were kind of bellyaching. Not bellyaching really, really, but they were just talking about how they needed it. And I said, hold on, y'all. I remember a day when we needed four people, one person each Sunday, and we were going to just kind of cross the fifth Sunday bridge when we got there to do it every month. We have 16 people that run children's church on Sunday morning every single month right now. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So, when I ask you to stand up and all, and I did not include the play, and I didn't do that for a reason, okay? What I was talking about is the people that every single week are in here doing something every single month. That doesn't include you all that are here that put a lot of time and effort into the play, into the fall festivals, into doing other events and being involved in things that are up here like dinner and movies and things like that, and that you're serving in different. When we say, hey, put a sign-up sheet out there, you can't serve every week or every month, but you can do those other little one-off events like I'm asking you to sign up for the fall festival that is out there. If I ask everybody to stand up for all of those things, there wouldn't be too many people not standing in this place. Now, one of the things that I was going to do, but some of the people, and he's just driving back up in the van, but you've seen some people raising their hand after they stood. Many of the people standing did multiple of those things every week. You have people do children's church, and they'll keep the nursery sometimes, and they help back there in the kitchen and do whatnot. I'm telling you right now, I have never even heard of a church that had those types of percentages of workers in the church. I've never known it. It's usually the 80-20 rule. It's 20% of the people doing how much? 80% of the work. All right. That's not the case in this church. As much as we sometimes say, well, we really need somebody else to do this, and we do. We still need other people to do other things because God is doing so much more. But what I've able to look at, I've been here long enough. I've been here 12 years, half of the church's history. I've been able to see a lot of things going on, and what I have seen is the massive amount of workers that God has supplied to this place, and we would not be able to have done the things that we've done ministerial-wise in this church if it wasn't that y'all were coming alongside and saying, I'll do that, I'll serve. Where do you want me to go, I'll go, all right? And that heart and that spirit is what's made this place what it is today. Vacation Bible School was another thing that I mentioned. I don't know if I mentioned that, but that's another one of those things that a lot of people come alongside and help out with on there. It's on my notes, but I didn't say it. Two things I want to highlight real quick, and then we're going to be going back there and eating. If you are currently in, and I know sometimes this is some people's first day here, but if you're currently in or you were in Life Springs or Billingsley House, please stand up. Okay? Amen. Okay. Y'all can have a seat. We appreciate it. And I wanted to say that I'm going to highlight two things that God has done over the past couple of years and the ministry that we've had and the outreach that we've had with Life Springs and then with Billingsley House. We have been able to be a part of, we're not trying to take credit for it by no means, but we have been a part of in this church seeing a lot of people. This is just the folks that are here today. We're not talking about the folks that I'm even in contact with that have gone back to their hometowns and all that have been delivered from substance abuse, families being put back together, children being reunited with their mothers, and seeing people get back and living the life that God has made for them. And we love y'all. We love that y'all were here, and we continue to put effort and energy into that ministry there. So we thank y'all. Thank y'all for what y'all do. Amen. That started not because of me. That started because of Miss Wilma and her son. He was building Life Springs, and Miss Wilma, being a former pastor's wife, being so involved in everything in church, she was looking for ways of using her gifts and talents and abilities, and she heard about what was going to be taking place with River Edge over there, and she went, and she was donating books and stuff to them in their library. She said, "Can I be your Mimi?" And Susan Johansson, who was the leader over there at that time, and talking to her, was like, "Yes, you can be our Mimi." And there was an amazing connection that was made there, and God has blessed that so many. There's so many other people that are here in the church, families of people that were in Life Springs that God has reached out to. The second thing I want to say and highlight this in a major way is what God has done in our church and the children's ministry in Awana. I want to thank every one of you that serve in children's ministry and in Awana, and especially what God has been able to do as we've introduced Awana into the church. And if I'm going to talk about this, and a little selfishly to my household I'm going to have to be, I have to give a lot of credit and congratulations to my wife for that, okay? She absolutely loves being called out in public, as you can see. But with Awana and you all, and again, it wouldn't be anything if she wouldn't have been able to get all of these people to be able to help come alongside. But our children's ministry has absolutely exploded. And that we used to have two or three people here on Wednesday nights in the children's ministry. Sunday mornings we may have six or so at best, you know, then. Right now, we have three different classes that the kids rotate to. Is that right? Three different age groups, and then they rotate through different classes on Sunday morning. That's why we had to have four people staff in Children's Church every single morning. that is back there. We've gone from two or three children on Wednesday nights to, you know, 20, 25 average. We probably have 50 or so kids that are on the rolls that come through sometimes. But they are being flat out discipled, not just being played with or played around or having activities. They are being discipled in the Word of God. Now, if you want to just bear with me at a moment when we think about that, if you think about us investing in these children in that way, how that's going to impact this church over the course of the next decade, when you see that you've got them type of charged up, trained kids that are going to be a part of the children's ministry, that are going to be the young adults, that we are flat training the next leaders of this church, and some of y'all are going, you better hurry up, but... we're flat training them in a major way to be a solid core group of base people that have the Bible down pat. There couldn't be anything more important that we were doing in this place than that. Okay, there couldn't be anything more important than that for the success of those children and for what God is doing in this place. It has exploded our van ministry. You see, we have two vans. We have to use them sometimes. We've got many different people that's driven the van over the years. Dean, if it wasn't for him, we never would have had a van ministry started at all. And Don Alford has come alongside and driven that thing. Consequently, when we got a new van, I should say, is when he began driving a lot out there. But driving, we're picking up lots of people coming into the church. And I say all of this stuff, people, not to brag necessarily. I do want to highlight it. But I want sometimes, if you're here, you don't really know what is all taking place in the church. We have not doubled and quadrupled in size in our Sunday morning worship services to where we're running 300 or 400 or 500 people than we were before, but there has been a tremendous level of growth and growth in discipleship in this church over the past 18 months. Okay, and that numbers are not that important to me. It's easy to pack pews, okay, but it is a lot harder to disciple people. But see, I told y'all several weeks ago, we don't win souls, we're planting seeds. And we're watering, and that's what the ministry here at United Community Church is all about. So, I have to say, and I have to maintain, that United Community Church is the best place to worship and serve God, and I'm a little biased about that because I've been here for so long and don't intend to be going anywhere no time soon. I'd be going here probably whether I was serving or not, because I just love this place. I love the people that are here. It's the church is made up of you all, not me. You can have a decent sermon, and I say this before, you can have mediocre preaching, mediocre singing, and have a wonderful group of congregation that loves people and that will support you, and you'll have a successful church. But you can have world-class preaching, world-class singing, and a congregation of people that look down their noses at you and judge you every time you come in, and you will not have a successful ministry for God. I just say, and I take this day to where we had scripture here, but I was not expounding upon the scripture and teaching you in that way. I wanted to take a minute because I think it's deserving to give God the credit. And that is ultimately where we are giving God. I want to make no mistake about that. And I don't want to leave people out and all the rest of it. And if I didn't call something that you were a part of and you're offended by it, I'm sorry. I didn't read the list of everything I come up here and do either. Okay. That's not what it's about. It's about what God is doing. But I asked y'all 1 year ago when I was casting kind of the vision for 2019. I said, I'm not going to ask you a whole lot for your money. I don't ever do that anyway. But I am going to ask y'all for your time. And y'all delivered. And you did that in a major way. I appreciate that. Don't stop it. Don't stop the money either, because we got to pay Georgia Power. You know, but... just in case somebody thought, whew, you know, really, we don't have to do that anymore either. I say that after the offering is taken up, we're not passing it again. Okay. It is a privilege for me to be here. Okay. It is a privilege for Brooke and I to serve here, to see what God does every day, and what you all do. And we're 24 years and counting All right, and we have way more things that's going to be coming and changing. And 2020 is a new year. We're going to be building on what God is doing here. But our focus will remain discipleship. I just say, if you want to go somewhere and play, if you want to go somewhere just to be entertained, if you want your kids just to come home talking about how much fun they had but not any Bible, there's a lot of other places I can refer you to, but it's not here. And that's just a difference of scope of what we're going to be doing. We're about the Bible. We're going to try, we're not the best, but we're going to continue to improve on that. And I can tell you, God is going to keep blessing and keep blessing and keep blessing as we build upon His kingdom. We're going to pray, bless the food, and, huh? Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
we know him now.
He plays Judas. And he just admired this woman and Brother Joe. You know, he to this day still talk about Brother Joe. He loved Brother John as well. But what I want to say, and I love Joe, don't get me wrong. I love Joe too. I love John too. Y'all have a great pastor here. We're not a member of this church. We moved on to another church. But I do come back frequently to visit. What I want to say is that y'all have a great pastor now. You really do.
Thank you.
I'm saying this because he has been with me. And my son, he was his youth pastor. My son has ADHD and Tourette's. He also has anger issues as well. Corey knows what I'm talking about. And if it wasn't for Corey, where I'd be right now with Andrew. Andrew is such a wonderful fellow now. He's working. He still talks about Corey. Corey said this, Corey this. You know, he loves Corey to death. My main thing is, don't forget, your pastor needs you and needs your prayers.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Marie. But Andrew put me through some of the hardest tests I think I ever was in ministry. But those days I do miss. I miss time with the youth. But with that being said, I do want to pray. And we're going to have the meal. If y'all will, please allow those that are would have mobility issues or older. You know, I know that some people want to run and say, well, I'm hungry, but let be courteous. There will be plenty of food that is there. If not, I'll give you some money to go get you some more. You do not have to beat down people with walkers and canes to get to the chicken, all right? It is not that serious. But appreciate everybody for bringing food today. We want to bless the food, and then we'll come over and have a fellowship meal today. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you, Lord, and we just praise you, Father God, for this church. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of Joe and Wilma Andrews, Father God, to through all different types of adversity, Lord, they listened to the still small voice that you were giving them, Father, that they had to continue on because there was a mission and there was a purpose Lord, that you had for their ministry. Father, we can see that impact still today. The seeds that were planted 40 and 50 years ago, Father God, are coming to fruition and growing and being harvested, Father, even still right now. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for John and Linda that have led this church, Father God, and what all happened during that time and this building being built and all the blessings that you have given. Father, you have had some amazing people and leaders with wonderful visions inside of this place, Father, and we want to make sure that right now our mantle of responsibility is to cherish the past and to remember that, but to fulfill the future that you have given for this place. And Lord, this is your house. These are your people. Lord, this is your ministry that we're in. Lord, everything is for you. Everything's about you and what your Son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross in paying for our sins, Lord. That is why we're here, is to proclaim that message of the gospel to this lost and dying world that we're living in and to equip the saints for works of ministry. Lord, we ask that you bless every hand that prepared the food that we're about to partake. Lord, that you bless that food. Father God, allow the food to be to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies always to your service. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.